I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. These brothers found their Engedi, right? But they didn't stop there. They didn't stop there. When I come home feeling tired and beat, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, the only place I know where you just have to wish to make it snow.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Engedi, an oasis in the wilderness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Engedi, an oasis in the wilderness.
So he says, the time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons at the same time calling for different things. Look at this. He found his Engedi. This brother found how to tap into his Engedi, his oasis in the desert. He said, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. He says that when I'm standing there washing dishes, and people are clamoring all around me, and they're demanding things. He said that I've learned how to possess the sanctuary. I've learned how to possess that intimate relationship with God as if I was on my knees at the communion table. He found his Engedi. Have you found your Engedi? Have you found that place that you can go in the dryness, the desert times of life? Then let me share with you a couple of brothers that found Engedi. The Drifters. They found Engedi. The Drifters found Engedi. Now, this was a song that was written by Carole King, but they sang it back in 1963. Listen, or look at some of the words of this song. When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face. I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. These brothers found their Engedi. Right? But they didn't stop there. They didn't stop there. When I come home feeling tired and beat, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, the only place I know where you just have to wish to make it snow. They found their Engedi. In the midst of a busy city, in the midst of the hustling and bustling of the crowd, in the midst of a demanding life, they found their Engedi upon the roof. Susanna Wesley under her apron. Brother Lawrence washing dishes. The Drifters upon the roof. Engedi is something that awaits all of us. That quiet place, that sanctuary in the midst of the desert. We see a couple of things about Engedi. The first thing we see is that Engedi is a place of refuge. Engedi is a place of refuge. In 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 29, it says, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds at En Gedi. Now, I was actually able to see these from the road as we went to Masada. These are the caves of En Gedi right here. So I was able to take a picture of the caves of En Gedi, where David, when he was running from Saul, he ran to En Gedi, and he was able to hide out in one of the caves up there. And you remember the Bible says that Saul went into the cave, one of the caves, to relieve himself. You know, in other words, to go to the bathroom. And while he was relieving himself, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask David how he did this. But he actually went up behind Saul and cut off a piece of his garment and was able to show Saul that he got, look, I got that close to you and I could have killed you, right? But where did he do that at? He did it in the caves of En Gedi. And so En Gedi for David was a stronghold. En Gedi for David is a place of refuge. And that when you find that desert, that oasis in the midst of the desert, that means that you have found that place where you can get away, where you can feel safe, and where you can feel protected. Have you ever had one of those days when you just felt that you were under attack? And maybe you said to yourself, if I could just go home, you know, what were you saying? If I could just go to that place where I feel safe and secure, that everybody needs an En Gedi. Everybody needs a place of refuge. That place that when you go to, whether it's your home or wherever, it's a park or wherever it might be, that place where you can go and you can get along with God and you can feel safe from the attacks of the world. One young lady said to a young man, you know, I just feel safe with you. I just feel safe with you. You're opposed to a lady that's being abused and that's being berated. And you can imagine how she must feel when she comes into the presence of the person that says that they love her. And the tension that's there. And the anguish that's there. And the unrest that's there. But then that one lady finds that man where she says, I feel safe with you. What is she saying? You're my En Gedi. You're that place where I go and I feel safe. I feel like whatever else is going on in the world, that I can come here and I don't have to worry about being attacked. That this is a place of En Gedi. En Gedi is a refuge where you can go and get away from the attacks of the world, from coworkers who attack you, from neighbors who attack you, from relatives who attack you, from people in the world who attack you. That when you can find that place in the presence of God, like I said, whether it's under an apron, whether it's at the kitchen, whether it's on the roof, it's just a place that you come into the presence of God and you feel safe. En Gedi is a place of refuge. And not only is En Gedi a place of refuge, but I like this. En Gedi is a place of refocusing. En Gedi is a place of refocusing. This is a powerful passage, and I wish I had time to get into it, but we're not going to get into it. Let me just highlight the passage. Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, the psalmist begins by saying, truly God is good to Israel, even as to such are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had almost slipped. And he said, he goes on to this discourse where he was watching the wicked and he was seeing how they prosper. And he was saying how that it shook his faith at the very core, that I'm trying to live for God, I'm trying to serve God, and I see wicked folk out here doing evil things, and it seemed like they're prospering, and this thing shook me at my very faith. But he says, in verse 17, until I went into Engedi, right? Until I went into Engedi. Until I went into the sanctuary. Go back to that picture of the sanctuary where I talked about the sanctuary, the peace, the communion with God. He said, until I went into my sanctuary, that quiet place, that peaceful place, but most of all, that place where I communed with God, until I went into my Engedi, until I got quiet, as long as I was out in the hustle and bustle and focusing on the wicked and the evil of the world, he said, man, my feet almost slipped. I almost lost my way. Maybe you almost slipped. Maybe you're slipping right now. Maybe you're losing your way. And you need to focus on Engedi. You know, I share an illustration in one of the sermons that I preach. In the illustration is one year when I was living in Virginia, I decided to get a shed. And it was a metal shed. And it had about 9 million screws, right? So you put this shed, I was out there for 2 days in the hot sun, putting this metal shed together, screwing these screws in. And I got to the end, and all the pieces were out of the box, and I looked at the end of the shed at one end, and there was a gap of about 2 feet on each side. And I thought to myself, I said, man, they didn't give me all the parts to this shed. And so I was upset. And I went in, and I found my instructions, and I looked for the 800 number, got the 800 number, called the 800 number, and told them, look, man, I said, I've been out in the sun 2 days laboring. I put this shed together, and I'm missing some parts. And the lady said, well, that's very unusual, sir. You know, we usually don't get calls like this. And I said, well, I don't know why it happened to me, but I need to get these parts. She said, well, the only thing I can recommend that you do is take the shed back down and bring it back to the store, and we'll give you another one. I said, are you crazy? I didn't say this to her. I didn't say it to her, but I said, you must be crazy. 2 days in the sun, screwing these screws in. And so I went to Engedi. I went to that quiet place. I went to that place where I sat down and I began to study the instructions. And I began to look at the shed. And as I went back and read the instructions, I found that the foundation for the shed was for an 8-foot or 6-foot shed. And I had laid the foundation for an 8-foot shed. And when I studied it, when I looked at the problem and saw that all I had to do was loosen the screws on one end and the foundation slid and the shed was perfect. See, I had to get quiet. I had to go to that quiet place. I could have kept out there or screwing, and I could have kept out there banging and all this other stuff, right? But I got quiet, and I went to God. And so Engedi, if you go back to that slide, Engedi is a place of refocusing. It's a place of refocusing. That when you get along with God, when you go to your sanctuary, that you can refocus on your life. You can refocus on what you're supposed to do. You can refocus and get new perspective on the things that are going on in your life. Engedi is a place of refocusing. Engedi is also a place of refreshment. Engedi is a place of refreshment. The psalmist said, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Engedi is a place of refreshment. In your notes, some commentators believe that David wrote Psalm 63 when he was hiding from Saul in Engedi. In verse 1, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David compared his desire for God to that of a man thirsting for water. Just think of how refreshing it is when the cool water touches his parched lips. Our souls become weary in the desert land. And when we can get to our spiritual En-Gedi, how refreshing it is to read a verse, whisper a prayer, or listen to a song that ministers to our dehydrated souls. The invigorating waters of En-Gedi is that quiet place where we go when we come out of the desert to hear God's voice and seek his face, that dry place. I've been, along with another guy, working on a wall at my house. And yesterday we were out there all day working on this wall. And I remember around 6:30, 7 o'clock, that we had a saw and we were sawing concrete. And I don't know if you realize when you saw concrete that there's dust that goes everywhere. And so there was dust all over the place, dust all over us. We were sweating out there in the sun all day long, I just felt grimy, right? And then I was able to go take a shower. And when you take that shower, all the grime and all the grit and all the dust is washed away. And you feel clean. Man, it's a big difference, you know, feeling grimy and gritty and feeling clean. And sometimes, man, we can get the grit and grime of the world on our souls. And when we go to En-Gedi, there's a cleansing that takes place. Where we feel refreshed, where we feel cleansed. You know, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not going to have a part of me. And then Peter said, give me a bath then, Lord. And Jesus said, you don't need a bath now, bro. All you need is to have your feet washed. And that's what going to En-Gedi is. We've already had the bath in our salvation. That Jesus has cleansed our soul with his blood. He has cleansed us of all of our sins. And so all we need now is just to have our feet washed. Can you imagine what it must have felt like for travelers back in Jesus' day when they walked with those sandals and they got their feet all dusty and, you know, who knows what they stepped in and how that their feet, and then to go in and even though you didn't get a whole bath that you got there and somebody just washed your feet, how much better you felt? That's the way it is when you go to En-Gedi, to wash away the filth of the world on your soul, to get along with God, that oasis in the midst of the desert. And then finally, En-Gedi is a place of renewal. En-Gedi is a place of renewal. David said in Psalm 51, verse 10, verse 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David, he had a man murdered. He committed adultery with his wife. He got the man drunk. He lied to the man. And for 9 months, 9 months at least, David went without confessing that sin. And then finally, Nathan the prophet came to David. And he said, David, you are the man. You are the man that has committed this gross immoral act against God. And it was in Psalm 51 where David comes with all the filth that was in his life. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I was reading an article in preparation for this sermon, and it said this. I never knew. Some of you might have known this, but I didn't know this. It says that children who have their fingertips severed, even almost down to the first joint, that if they've had their fingertip severed, that they could actually grow back the fingertip even with the nail on it. And I said, that can't be right. And so I began to research it because I just said, that can't be right. And as I researched it, it is a fact that children, now I'm going to say not us people who are of age, right? Don't go trying that. The article very specifically said children. And I think it said under the age of 10 years old. So, but I just thought to myself, wow, they can grow a whole fingertip back, even with the nail. And when you think about renewal, that sometimes our spiritual fingertips are cut off. And we feel out of joint. We feel disconnected. But when we come to Engedi, God is able to grow back that relationship. God is able to renew that relationship. And so as I close this morning, I'm just going to close with one question. What are you substituting for Engedi? What are you substituting for Engedi? It may be a mirage. A mirage is an optical illusion sometimes seen in the desert that may have the appearance of a pool of water. And this is caused by, heat and hydration, but the bending or reflecting of the rays of light that's caused by different levels of heating. And so people begin to see things in the desert. Maybe you are substituting something for Engedi. Maybe it's a mirage. Maybe you are substituting relationships for Engedi. You are trying to find your peace. You are trying to find that sanctuary. You are trying to find that calmness in the relationships. Maybe that's your Engedi. Maybe your Engedi is busyness, that you're caught up in the things of this world that you don't have time to come away and get with God. Maybe you are trying to find your Engedi in alcohol or other substances that you are substituting for that relationship with God. Maybe that's your Engedi. Maybe your Engedi is in material possessions that you think that the more things that you get, the more wealth you accumulate, the more things that you grab a hold onto, that you will find your Engedi. No. There's only one true oasis in the desert. And that is that place, that quiet place, that peaceful place that's in communion with God. And there's no substitute for that. There's nothing. People have died, millionaires and miserable. Millionaires and miserable because they weren't able to find their Engedi. They weren't able to find that oasis in the desert. God offers that to you. And it doesn't cost any money. It's free of charge. All you have to do is just come to him. Come into his presence. Meditate on his word. Pray to him. Maybe take a song that is particularly meaningful to you, that brings you to that quiet place of communion with God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Close Encounters with God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Engedi, an oasis in the wilderness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Engedi, an oasis in the wilderness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Engedi, an oasis in the wilderness. Or call us at 877-831-5060 When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.